Oh, hi, from Katrina Improvisata again. I'm Erica Demain, and I'm coming to you from a very windy, rainy Manhattan, looking out my window here at my fading geraniums. It's a pretty bad looking day out there. This is my newest place to talk to you about themes in improvisational cooking. We're really into fall now, I can't deny that. Just came back from the Union Square Market with what looks like a medieval weapon of sorts, but actually what it is a big stalk of Brussels sprouts. It's really an amazing looking thing. I don't think I actually saw one of these things whole until maybe about 10 years ago. I was quite startled when I saw my first one. I also bought a big, gigantic butternut squash. It's really huge. I'm really not sure what I'm going to do with that yet, but I'll figure something out. But, and the most important thing, is that I also today picked up two big bags of big round red tomatoes, end of the season tomatoes. They're still there. I'm so happy to see them. They're slightly bruised, but, you know, I know what I'm going to use these for. They're going to be destined for a cooked tomato sauce. You know, I asked one of the farmers today, and she said that the tomatoes will be around probably for about 2 more weeks. So I'm really grateful for that. And I'm going to be making a lot of cooked tomato sauces because that's what I go into this time of year when the weather starts to change. Last week I chatted to you about pomodoro crudo. That's that excellent uncooked tomato sauce that I make in various forms to toss with hot pasta. I mean, that dish is phenomenal. It speaks summer to everybody. But, excuse me, right now it's early October, and I love making cooked sauces with fresh tomatoes. You know, that type of sauce in its simplest form, all I do is saute garlic and good olive oil, add chopped, drained tomatoes, cook them very briefly, maybe 10 minutes. You know, I'll pull the pan from the heat, add fresh herbs. You know, you can really add just about anything here. I use this kind of sauce on pizza. I toss it with spaghetti or use it as the base for a braise, like a chicken cacciatore type dish. It's great spooned over, I don't know, grilled eggplant or zucchini, or, you know, speaking of eggplant, right now a lovely dish to make in the fall, because there's still eggplant in the market, is to just make a type of eggplant parmesan with fresh tomatoes. That really is something special. If you've never made an eggplant parmesan with fresh tomato sauce, give it a try. It's really an eye-opener. And you know, this sauce of fresh tomatoes, just lightly cooked, smells really excellent. I mean, it makes my kitchen smell like summer, in fact. And you know, of course, you can mix it up, improvisationally speaking, by, of course, adding, I mean, you know, clean out your refrigerator, which is what I do a lot of times when some of my inspiration just comes from what I've got hanging around. I mean, you could say add, if you have a couple of anchovies, chop those up, add them, capers, olives, you know, a little flat leaf parsley or basil. And, you know, basically what you've got there is a puttanesca style sauce. But the one that really sings, because you're making it with fresh tomatoes that haven't been cooked down too much. So the sauce is really red. It's really vibrant. Another great thing, if you have a can of good Italian tuna, you can just throw that into one of these really simple tomato sauces and just give it a good toss. And, you know, when I use something like tuna, I like to finish the sauce in true Southern Italian style with toasted breadcrumbs, maybe ones that have a little spice to them, a little pepperoncino maybe, and use that instead of grated cheese. You know, actually, come to think of it, this sauce with tuna, I haven't actually made it in a long time, and it just came into my head, but it's really one of the pasta dishes that really remind me of my mother's home cooking. My mother is half Sicilian, and the other side of my family is Puglian. The whole southern area uses good tuna in pasta all the time, and that just reminds me, this is one of the sauces I'm going to make now that I'm reminded of it, maybe even tonight. But, you know, it's interesting because when I'm trying to transition into a cooler weather and I want to draw my fresh tomato sauces into like a cool weather mode, I like making ones that have more structure than just what I just described to you, you know, with just olive oil and garlic. I like ones that begin with a sofrito. You probably all know what that is. It's, you know, anybody that cooks a lot of Italian food is familiar with it. It's just a saute of aromatic vegetables. But it's a really important technique to get down since it's the, it's like the underpinning of so much great Italian cooking. You know, I always start out with some member of the onion family, onion, shallot, scallions, you know, you can use anything, carrots, sometimes celery, garlic, often but not always, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, what kind of result I want. But whatever I'm sauteing in my sofrito, I try to coax as much flavor out of these vegetables as possible. I usually cook them pretty slowly and letting them caramelize a bit, because you know that this is going to be what holds your sauce together and what basically makes it feel rich and whole. My sofrito varies. I sometimes add shallot, or I could add, you know, fresh bulb fennel maybe instead of celery if I want that fennelly taste, depending on where I want to go with it. Sometimes if I want a little more sweetness, I'll add a extra carrot, or just sometimes onion and carrot and no celery, because celery can be a little sharp. It really depends on what kind of sauce I'm planning this. I'm planning this to work out at the end. Like, what do I want this thing to taste like? A style of fresh tomato sauce I love making this time of year. I often start with, I like using leeks in a sofrito. And a mix of carrot and leek is a really lovely beginning for a beautiful fall tomato sauce. You know, often when I'll use leek, I feel leek has got a lot more character than onion sometimes, so I won't even add any garlic. I'll just slowly saute the leek and carrot together, sometimes in a mix of butter and olive oil, which is interesting because butter is something I almost never use in the summer. I almost never buy it in the summer. I don't know why. It just seems to somehow interfere with my warm weather sensibilities. Sort of my culinary head doesn't really go to butter in the summer because I may be thinking more, I don't know, Mediterranean. I'm not even sure. There's nothing particularly non-summer about butter, but I don't know. It, for my mind, it just doesn't go there. But when it gets a bit cooler, I start thinking about butter and how much sweetness it can add to tomatoes. It really is something beautiful in a tomato sauce. Okay, so like for this particular sauce, I'm thinking I'll do my leek and carrot sofrito, and then maybe I'll add, I don't know, like a fresh bay leaf, for instance. If I have it, that fresh bay leaf really reminds me of fall. That's another thing I don't think about using that much in the summer. I could, but I don't. I just sort of wait until it feels cold, and then I use bay leaf. But it's very fragrant, a bay leaf, and it's a beautiful thing with tomatoes. After I finish that sofrito with my bay leaf, instead of using maybe a wine, which I would more, something light like that, which I would more often choose in the summer, I'll deglaze the sofrito with a little cognac or brandy, or, you know, maybe even a little grappa. You know, you just boil that off. And then I'll add my peeled, chopped, and drained. Remember, it's always a good idea to drain fresh tomatoes since they can be very watery. I'll add my tomatoes, and I'll cook the thing uncovered in a wide, shallow pan so the liquid evaporates quickly, giving me a thick sauce, but one that's not overcooked. You don't want to overcook the tomatoes because you want to preserve that fresh redness. That's the whole point of using fresh tomatoes. And then at the end, I'll add an herb. I'll actually add fall herbs. I tend to add sort of in the middle of cooking, you know, because I'll use a little bit of a stronger herb in the fall than I would in the summer. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily use basil in this. I think I might start use a herb like rosemary or thyme or sage or, you know, summer savory is still around. That's a really lovely thing. It's a little strong, but just use a little bit. But these are all herbs that benefit from heat, and they'll open up in a sauce. Their oils will come out, which is something that you don't really want to do with herbs that are a little more gentle and a little more that look more like leaves, like parsley and mint and basil, for instance. I mean, I think also I think I would really only use fresh herbs here. To me, dried herbs mixed in with if you're going to bother to make a fresh tomato sauce that's so fresh and so, it's like singing fresh, I think dried herbs would only add a musky note. I know you've probably all tasted that in a sauce and said, wow, you know, if it wasn't for this dusty sage in this damn tomato sauce, this would be a really good sauce, right? I mean, how many times have you had a sauce that's just been like drenched in like dried oregano and maybe not even fresh dried oregano? I mean, to me, that is a real deal breaker. And I just, you know, to tell you the truth, I never use dried herbs anymore. I mean, sounds like a snob, but I'm just telling you, I just don't use them. I mean, I can get really good fresh herbs year round, so why bother, right? I don't know, my opinion. Anyway, just to wrap this up, I'm just saying, don't let the tomato sauce, any fresh tomato sauce cook too long, maybe 10 minutes, 15 top, and don't cover it, don't smother it. Let it cook free. You know, it needs freedom, and that's my motto with fresh tomatoes. Oh, another thing I add to this type of sauce, oftentimes at the end, is a little bit of creme fraiche. That's really nice because it adds richness, but it also adds a little acidity, which is really lovely. You can add cream, too. You know, my train of thought is going now that I'm thinking of creme fraiche and cream in this sauce. I would say, to me, this sauce pairs really well with a fresh egg pasta, like a tagliatelle or a wider pappardelle. And, you know, if you're going in that direction, finish it with a really rich, suave cheese like a Parmigiano or a Grana Padano. Maybe not something sharp, maybe no Pecorino here. So, you know, variations on this sauce I'm going to start making now through the whole winter. I mean, you know, obviously when fresh tomatoes aren't available anymore, I'm going to make it with canned, which is great. I love canned tomatoes, but right now that I still have fresh tomatoes, I'm going to be using them. I mean, just to add a couple more variations now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, this is sort of endless, right? I mean, the improvisata aspect of this type of sauce is kind of crazy. I mean, you can add prosciutto at the last minute, you know, just so it doesn't have time to cook and lose its, you know, reason for being, basically. Or for a more robust thing, if you want to add a little cured meat, a soprassata or cabagola at the end is really nice. That could stand a little more heat. It's not as delicate as at prosciutto. You could add that a little earlier on. Anyway, this is a really simple technique with a lot of options. Oh my God, there's so many things you could add to this sauce. I mean, let me just go on for just a few more minutes here. Because now I'm thinking about starting a sofrito by browning pancetta or guanciale. Guanciale, if you don't know, which you probably do, but I'm just in case, it's a cured pork jowl. It's It's made with a lot of the same flavorings as pancetta, but it's a little richer in flavor, and it's just worth looking out for at Italian markets if you want something really, really rich. And you know, if you start a tomato sauce with guanciale or pancetta, and then add a little onion and a good amount of fresh or dried chili, and then add your fresh tomatoes. What do you got here? Now you've got a classic amatriciana sauce, the great Roman pasta dish. Toss it with bucatini, sprinkle with a little pecorino romano. This is really good. This is really authentic. This is not improvisata. This is a classic sauce. It's interesting that by just messing around, you can come up with something that's classic, not even realizing it. I mean, you know, reinventing the wheel. But that, you know, but that's okay, because that's what improvisation is all about. It's rediscovering combinations that work, you know, finding new ones that work for you and that are really exciting. So it's a mix, classic and creative. I mean, that's how I cook, and that's what really makes me happy. You know, just one last thing about these last of the summer tomatoes. When I'm making fresh tomato sauces that I want to pull into the direction of the fall, I think nothing does that for me more than adding a spoonful of ricotta. You just work it in, you just bring it to the table and you plop it on top and work in it at the last minute. And when I do this, this really reminds me of my grandmother's cooking. The ricotta always came in the winter. There was always a bowl of ricotta on the table to plop on whatever kind of pasta she brought out. And when she used the ricotta, she would always use cook ziti or penne or some kind of really old-fashioned, you know, macaroni shape. You know, there's something about the richness of the ricotta and the, you know, thick, sturdy penne that really goes together, and to me, really speaks about cooler weather. Okay, look, I can go on here. But I guess what I'm really trying to tell you is to go out now and buy yourself some of the last of the season tomatoes and make yourself some beautiful pasta sauces, okay? Okay, I think I've said it. Okay, until next time, and happy improvisational cooking to you guys. Okay, bye.